pry into your business?
It wasn't anything major. It was I was with the children. I was with two children last week.
Okay.
One of them stayed home mainly by choice. The other one was, let's say, coerced into staying home through some dubious governmental regulations.
What the? They shouldn't come in. Is that what you're talking about?
It wasn't even the school. It was the so-called Gesundheitsamt, which is the Ministry of Health.
Ah, dude.
Who basically said, oh, there was one child in your class with a positive test. Damn, everyone's going home for 2 weeks. So
That sounds reasonable to me.
That's not the slightest bit. But yeah, we ain't getting into that. We ain't getting into that. We know where I stand on this topic, and you know the bounds of common sense. That's not important. The important thing is I'm here today, and yes,
okay,
I'm speaking with power.
Okay,
I'm speaking with power.
Oh, cool.
Yes, all indeed. Right.
Did you get you listened to what I talked about on the last one?
Yeah. I did. I did. Something that came up to me, or came up for me, is the power of words themselves.
Oh.
And the words we use when we speak about these things, when we speak about these feelings, particularly. And because I'm not a believer, to be honest. I've verified it for myself. So I'm going to put it in my bank of what I would call knowledge. So knowledge that I have ascertained during this lifetime is the power of words, and especially as it relates to our emotions. And it's very interesting. And I found that in going through these experiences, you know, experiences of loneliness, experiences of depression, one of the game changers for me is going from a place of saying, I am depressed, saying I feel depressed, or I feel lonely, I feel upset, I feel frustrated. And it creates an extra buffer for me to really observe those feelings without putting myself into the prison of the feelings, if that makes sense. So like, the way I see it, we can talk ourselves into a prison. We can talk ourselves into slavery by the use of certain words. So yeah, that's one thing that came up in me then, just in terms of navigating that whole thing, because we all go through it at some point, especially in these types of societies. And yeah, it's important to know how we can begin to navigate through this maze of feelings.
Exactly. But it's also a thing which I brought up, is that sometimes people don't even care to admit that these feelings are there. They'll just create whatever narrative they want in their head and not try to actually consider what's going on with you. That's pretty much what I was going with.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the solution to that in your mind?
In my mind, the solution, it's simple as to just like... I mean, it sounds so simple, but so difficult at the same time. It's just, do you know what it is? Do you know what it really is? It's because of this thing that people are taught from birth. When you're born into a country, you are born into this this mentality that your country is the best. You guys are number one. And because we're the best, blah, blah, blah. And you don't consider that, you know, maybe your country isn't number one, maybe you're not the best, but they don't see it like that. The reason why I use this example is because, let's say someone else comes into that country or someone that doesn't look like you was born in that country, that person will never be seen as a part of that country. Instead of just because of this mentality of, you know, this is our country, we're number one, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like you're programmed at a young age to think that anything less than this is weakness. Anything less than this, you're weird. So we need to teach that, you know, everyone is equal. There's no, like you said, there's no borders. That's just lines on a map that are there to trap you. Everyone's equal. Everyone's going through something. And showing emotion and feelings is not weakness. It's actually quite strengthening to talk about what you're going through, actually. But we're taught the exact opposite. So it's a society thing. It's like this, a society thing.
Mm. Yeah. I have two questions that come up for me that I would like to ask you.
Okay.
Regarding that, you said that it's important for people to be taught that we're all equal. And the first question I have around that is that true? Are we all equal?
In terms of, well, if you're thinking about right now, no, we are not treated all equally, but we should be, because we are all organisms that were born from this planet. We all have, you know, we should all have the freedoms and the, you know, protections of, you know, being a sentient life form. We should all be treated exactly the same. But of course, we're not. We're not treated exactly the same, because there's always going to be that someone that's specially skilled that's going to have their groupies, or this person who's doing this is going to have their groupies, and they're going to be put on a higher status than you, and that's always going to happen. So it's more...
So I said that. Go on.
It's more about, okay, so even in that, it's just, how do I say this? Okay. So for example, I am a male from whatever, and I will treat everyone else equally. So whatever my personality is, I will treat everyone I meet with the same kind of, you know, level. So if I'm pissed off, if I'm happy, if I'm angry, if I'm sad, if whatever, I would treat everyone as equal. But today, people will change who they are depending on who they meet. So if it's someone from your own country, you act in this way. If it's someone of the opposite gender, you act this way. If it's someone of the same gender, you act this way. If it's someone from another country, you act another way. Instead of actually treating people with the same kind of level of respect, you will change depending on who you meet. And I think that's fucked up, because why are you giving people different priorities? You know, how is it that when it's someone that's, I don't know, for example, you're in a company, and let's take up this up. Like, so did you hear about the whole Blizzard Activision thing, how so many sexual assault things were going on in a company, right? Why is it that you have to treat women differently? Why can't you treat the men and the women differently? Why do you have to see women as these sexual objects? Why can't all of the employees be treated exactly the same? You know, if someone is working less, you know, if their performance is less and you've given them chances, and it's like, well, we can't give you a promotion if you're not going to pull your weight. That's something different, because they're showing that they're not pulling their weight. So you're going to be like, bro, come on, man. I can't be giving you favors when you're not doing anything. But if I'm like, there's a female here who's working her ass off, doing a great job, and there's this guy there that's not putting his weight, and I'm going to treat the guy way better than the woman just because he's a man, now we have issues. Now we have problems. No? So treat everyone at the same level, depending on, it doesn't matter who they are. You should treat them all the same.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. And it leads to my second question, which is, how do you go about teaching that?
Like I said, it's from Okay, what I would do is just whatever is going on right now, how we're teaching kids in school, what we're pumping out in television, on the news, and all of that, just delete and scrap that, and then just start from like the next day, just start pumping out good vibes on the TVs and the networks and everything. Show adverts of empathy. Show TV shows with a bit more empathy. Teach the kids that are born now empathy, so that when they get older, seeing as they're grown up into that, they'll have a lot more empathy. I'm not saying that people should, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not saying people should change their lifestyles or anything. Just teach kids empathy. Let them see empathy in everyday life. So it's just put yourself in another person's shoes. Then you won't be going around acting like an asshole to people. Like, act like an, like, if you're an asshole, treat everyone as an asshole, you know? Don't treat only some people as assholes because of their skin tone and then treat the rest like they're your buddies. That's not cool. If you're an asshole, treat everyone like an asshole. If you're a nice person, treat everyone like a nice person. Don't pick and choose. Unless someone did something bad to you, then you can fuck them over. That's fine. They did something bad to you. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to teach the next generation empathy, because our generation's fucked. They're screwed. We're living in old ways. We need to teach the younger ones that they need to be better. But that's never going to happen. And this patriotism needs to stop as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good to, like, I don't know, have pride in your country and your culture and where you come from. But there's a difference between taking pride and being so... And then there's a difference between taking pride in where you are and where you come from and your culture, and then taking so much pride, it becomes so patriotic, then it's like, we're best, everyone else, fuck you, when we see someone else, treat them differently because they're some alien or something like that. It's like, bro, stop, man.
Okay. I'm enjoying this. diving into your process.
Oh, diving into my process. Okay, what would you do then? The same questions back at you.
Not yet. I would love to answer those.
What?
I want to dive a bit deeper.
Oh, into me. Okay, go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
So there's another thing I want to get to, but there's something else first, right? That something else is, you mentioned fucking someone over if they fuck you over.
Yeah.
Why that?
Oh, because you know what? It's very, how do I say this? It's like the iPhone i242 kind of thing. I think that as creatures on this planet, we can't help but, what's the word I'm looking for? Not get revenge exactly, but if someone treats, like, it's like this, right? How does a kid learn not to put their hands on an iron? They learn either because you give them a good explanation why, and so they go, oh, that's a good explanation, I shouldn't touch the iron. Or they learn it the hard way and they touch it and they get the ass burnt. You know, there's only so many times you get your ass burnt until you're like, no, fuck this iron, I ain't touching this iron. And it's the same with people, you know. It's like, how, if someone comes and does something bad to you, especially if you didn't start anything, it's either you go, okay, I'm going to avoid this motherfucker, or if they try and do it again, you're going to do something bad back, almost like in a self-defense, but also in a sense where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this to you, so you know, that's not cool, man. I don't fucks with you. If you're going to come at me like this, we got a problem, you know? So, yeah, it's cool to be passive and to be like, it's all love, man, not war, but there's only so far you can get with love, because some people don't process that. So sometimes you got to go a little into battle so that people learn their lesson. So I'm not saying that you should harm another person, but if someone's starting shit with you, you got to have to fight back. Don't just take the punches to the face.
And what happens when they retaliate, the retaliation?
Retaliate in retaliation?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the situation. Like, it always depends on the situation. So let's say, okay, so let's say you're on a night out and then you can see that someone's drunk and they've come and decided to cause an alteration. You can use your common sense and realize, oh, this person's just drunk. So there's no point in actually fighting them. If they come on to me, I will push them away and defend myself. But there's no point in getting angry and, you know, punching them up and getting into a situation. It's better to just avoid them, walk away. You know that they'll probably regret it in the morning anyway. You know, that's a situation you can just walk away from. Or if they come at you, push them away, you know. And there's another situation where the person's sober and for some reason an altercation happened and there's a situation. It's like, okay, now I got to fight. I got to defend myself. There's no way I'm going to have this guy come up to me or this girl. I'm not biased with the gender. And then, you know, I'm not going to get someone coming at me and not doing anything. So it's a thing where it's like, don't start something you can't finish. You know, they started the alteration. And so if they come back and retaliate for my retaliation, that means you got to retaliate until the whole thing comes to an end. It's going to end sometime. Like, they started it and now they got to finish it. If they have a, like, it's not my problem. It's mostly their problem. They started it kind of thing. Like, it depends on the situation. What are you talking about? What situation? Give me a situation.
A specific situation isn't that important. But what I observe from your description,
yeah,
is that from a singular altercation has now begun every story of every war that's ever been fought. They started it. They started it. I was just defending myself.
Okay, so here's another thing, right? If you, let's say, ignore it, or let's say you defend yourself and you don't fight back and they keep coming at you, then what? What are you going to do? Just keep just not fighting back? What are you going to do? Because if you run away, they chase you. What are you going to do?
Me personally?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you how I handle those situations. As you know, I am an advocate of love. And that is my shield. That is my armor. That is my sword. That is my pen. That's my everything, right? And so if I am under attack for whatever reason, I'll beat someone's ass if I have to.
Exactly. There you go.
With love.
I'll beat your ass with love, man.
That's it. There's a distinction for me.
Love
for
me.
There's a distinction. You know.
Love baton.
And like, I have children. I have children that like to attack me sometimes as well. And they're strong. Like, they're big, strong children,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Kids don't. So sometimes.
Know the strength.
I got to twist their arm. I've got to twist their arm, not to destroy them, not to hurt them, but just to let them know that I am in such control of my power that this is my, let's say, this is my field of influence. So you can go this far until you get a response from me. And my response is going to be this, and you're not going to be able to move your arm for a little while we talk about this. Right. So extending that to the person, the average person or random person out there on the street. I feel I've strengthened myself enough to the point where most people who would start something, I can beat us and it's okay. And again, I'll sit there with them and we'll have a conversation about it, about why it happened, you know, about how it led to this, about why I don't appreciate it, you know. And for the most part, people that can whoop my ass like that are in control of their power to a degree where they don't go around starting fights and shit. You know, so I wouldn't, if I was to fight an MMA fighter, I'll get my ass beat, right? I don't play that game. I'm not that at that level, right? But at the same time, most of those guys also have, you know, they've been training discipline, physical and emotional, and even in certain circumstances, spiritual discipline. And yeah, I'm all for defense, and I'm all for beating someone's ass if they deserve it, if they need it. That's the thing. It's a lesson. Like, an ass whooping is a lesson. And for me, it's being in contact with the universe to a degree where it's like, the universe is like, cool, you're up now. This person needs to get their ass beat, and it's going to come through you. You're going to be the teacher of this lesson. So go ahead and do what you need to do. So it's a fine line. It's a fine line. I don't really think there's a right and a wrong here. It's an interesting one. But yeah, I wanted to come at your process and see where you're coming from. Go on.
You think that's a very...
It's a fine line.
But how is that any different to what I said?
Exactly. That's why I said it's a fine line.
Yeah.
And because outwardly it looks the same, right? But the concern is, what does it do inwardly to the person? So have I started a war, or rather, have I jumped into a war, or have I stopped one in its tracks right there by asserting my, let's say, dominance, for lack of a better word?
But dude, that's every single fight though. Okay, let me take the bar example again, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say he's not even drunk. Let's say he's just a little tipsy, but he's still sober yet. He starts a fight and he gets into a complication. He gets his ass beat. He now knows he's not going to get back up and fight this guy, because if he does, he's going to get his ass beat. So it's like, he started the fight that he couldn't finish, you know? So it's like, the other guy he was fighting had to defend himself. He didn't want to fight, but this dude came up to him. So it's like, it's either you're going to get punched in the face or you're going to punch back. And he did, beating the other guy's ass. So now the other guy knows, okay, if I fight this dude, I'm going to get my ass beat. So it's either he's going to get up and fight again. And it's like, bro, you're just going to get beat down. So it's just going to get to a situation. Like you said, if he retaliates with retaliation and he's already lost, he's just going to get hurt more. It's just going to become a situation where he's just going to get so beat he can't get up again, and then it's finished, you know? Mm. So that's what I was saying.
Yeah, right. It looks the same. It looks the same, definitely. but yeah, the reason I wanted to dive into that, and again, it comes down to the words we use, right? Because I specifically picked up on something you said. If someone does something bad to me, I'm going to do something bad back to them.
Oh, okay. Right? I didn't mean it in that way. Okay, fine. Okay, I get you. Okay.
So, you know, I get paid to pick up on words at this point. Like, people pay me money to be in conversations and listen to their patterns so that I can reflect it back to them.
Fair enough. You know? I didn't mean it in that way. Fair enough.
But I'm saying, like, that's not a bad thing that you said that. All it is it shows the code that's running underneath. Because whether or not you wanted to consciously say that, your subconscious threw that word out when you were speaking about it. So it's like, oh, okay, now I see this thing, and I see this subconscious pattern. Like, the subconscious mind is something like 90 to 95% of our process that we're not even aware of, right? And so, yeah, it's just words. Words are key. Something that I've changed recently is, all right, what do you call a period of 7 days?
A week.
What do you call someone or something that's not strong?
Weak.
Yeah. Right. So there you have the same sounding. It's the same sound, right? But it's supposedly two different words that are spelled differently. Like, one has an A in there, the other one has two E's, but it's still that word weak. So something that I've been experimenting with over the past couple of weeks. See, there we go. I said that word and I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I've started to call them a strong. I call it a strong now. That's what I'm getting into my vocabulary. A period of 7 days is called a strong to me now.
I get you. Okay. 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 So period of 7 days is a strong.
Yeah. And I'm even working with days. Go on.
But isn't it all to do with context, though? Everything is context. Like, you can say, like, people will understand the context of what you're saying. You can say, oh, it's going to take a week to do this. And then you go, oh, that person's weak. And then people should automatically understand the context of what you're saying. Because everything is not the words you say. It's the context behind the words you say. So you can say the same meaning word, but the context behind it is completely different. And we have evolved to pick up on, well, we should have evolved to pick up on those kind of details.
Yeah, we think we're evolved. We think we're civilized, absolutely. And consciously, yeah, it makes sense. From a conscious understanding standpoint, context would dictate whether somebody is speaking about a period of 7 days or the opposite of strong. But when we go into the subconscious mind, and especially the reactive reptilian brain at the core of our physical existence, it's frequencies. It's frequencies that count more so than the context. So the conscious mind is the thing that makes us think we're smart and evolved and civilized, right? We're like, oh yeah, we use knives and forks and we wear clothes and we speak in whole sentences and use full stops.
Not the conscious mind, it's the Roman people. Roman people said that we're civilized now. So everyone's like, oh yeah, we're ancestors of the Romans, so we're civilized too. That's who said we're civilized.
Right, but that happens on the conscious mind.
Yeah.
Because in the subconscious mind, again, if somebody is about to kill your family, you're going to pull out the whatever you have to pull out and kill them first, probably. Right? And all of a sudden, we ain't so civilized anymore, are we?
Exactly.
You know? And that was a subconscious reaction. That was the survival instinct, the reptilian brain that kicked in and said, you need to survive this moment. So kill who you need to kill. Like, do it. Survive, motherfucker. Like, survive. You know?
I agree.
But that conscious mind tells us, oh, we're good people and we don't need to fight and we can just be kind of respectful. So we're living in multiple dimensions. And like, if we're being honest, to be a human is to be a confused hypocrite.
It's so true. And to constantly contradict yourself as you get older. Right.
Exactly. And
that's a quote, so, right there. You're a confused hypocrite. To be a human, you're just a confused hypocrite. Oh, shit. That's too facts. Good.
It's just facts, man. Oh,
fuck.
Yo.
That's hilarious.
But essentially, these words, the words that we use, are programming that subconscious experience. And so, all right, let me give you an example that I... Oh, shit. All right. Let's do it. So... You spoke about a week being a period of 7 days, right? And then we have these 5 days, Monday to Friday. What are they called?
Days.
What kind of days? What do we call them?
Oh, the weekdays. I get what you're saying.
Right. So Monday to Friday, we're in a weekdays, right? Mm. We're just bumbling around, going to work and shit in a weekdays. And then... Saturday and Sunday, what do we call that?
Weekend.
Right. So Saturday and Sunday, after moving through a weekdays and being caught in a weekdays for 5 periods of 24 hours, we are then in a weekend state where we can be programmed by the TV, owned by those TV networks that you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Which is where they can start to program us with violence and fear and division and misogyny and racism and all the rest of it, right? Because after that weekdays, we're just like, ah, thank TGIF, bitch, thank God it's Friday, you know? Let me go home, let me get my drink on and sit in front of a screen in my weekend state so I can be programmed. So I've decided to take matters into my own hands. And I said, I no longer want to be weekend or walk around in a weekdays. So what I'm going to do is have a strong period of 24 hours, each 24 hour period. And on the things called Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to set up, instead of a weekend, a strong front for the coming strong. And it's transforming things for me. I'm going to lie to you. It sounds, you know, this ain't, not everyone, This is some shit, man. But this is my shit. This is my shit.
Dude, I'm letting you finish because I don't want to interrupt. Look, look, yeah. The funny thing is, I'm not even... Look, what you're doing, your whole life right now, what you are personally doing is you are reprogramming your own mind to be extremely positive, which is an extremely good thing to do. More people in their own way should live a more positive life. And it doesn't matter if you're changing weekdays into strong days and weekends into strong fronts. It doesn't matter how you're doing it. As long as you're constantly putting yourself into a positive vibe, then you're sending out positive energy, which means positive things will start and continue to happen to you. So I'm not even hating on you, man. Do whatever you need to do to have a good life. And I think people will listen and just be laughing their heads off, like, what is this guy saying? What is he doing? But at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, you're living your best life. You're living your best life and you're doing whatever you need to do to just keep having those positive vibes. All people should be doing. So it sounds funny. Even to me, it sounds hilarious. But we're all going to be like not laughing. You're going to be the only one laughing in the end because you're going to be having like this bad positive outlook on life. So keep going, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it. Yeah, man, it's programming. And I decided to be the programmer. We can, like you said, we can all do that. Yeah. Just small things add up over time. And before you know it, you're living in an entirely new reality. And it's like, oh, shit, you know. But if we go under the assumption that this thing was always up for grabs, right? Like this reality was always up for grabs to whoever decided to program. And like we've seen that in the tech world. Over the past few decades, it was all up for grabs. The ones and the zeros were always there.
It's true.
The people who decided to program are taking over the reality now.
I'm not gonna lie about that, man. Back when it all started, people were laughing at the internet. They're like, internet? YouTube? And then all of a sudden, all of these things blew up. I remember when Netflix first came up. And everyone was laughing at Netflix. I was like, Netflix, what? And now Netflix is like one of the most biggest streaming platforms. And Netflix was the reason why now you have Hulu and Apple TV and Disney Plus and HBO Max, all because of Netflix. So like, yeah, like you said, it was all there. You just need to reach out and grab it. Even cryptocurrency right now. Everyone's laughing at cryptocurrency. But I'm going to shit you not. In the next few decades, watch this be the new thing that people are using to like exchange money, goods and stuff. Cryptocurrency is just going to become a thing. Everyone's just trying to hold back the dam. Or I should say the old people in power are holding the dam. But cryptocurrency will break through eventually. Everything is becoming tech nowadays.
The entire metaverse, man. I was reading a guy's post on Instagram and he was talking about buying your digital likeness like right now before someone else does, because you know how they got these profiles of us, right? Yeah. Your internet profile.
Yeah.
So essentially you've got an avatar, you already have a digital avatar of it's a copy of a digital copy of you and everything you've ever done on the internet, everywhere you've ever gone with your location on your phone or bought a plane ticket to or whatever, that whole digital profile exists. And dude was saying, basically, because he does like NFTs and all of that stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And he was saying the metaverse is about to pop. So get your digital likeness now. And if you're smart, buy other people's digital likeness as well. So they have to buy it from you if they want to use it in the metaverse. And I'm like, shit, this is a similar conversation to buying web pages back in the day, like back then. And it's like, shit. And just like you said, but Netflix, man, everyone was laughing at it. It was just the bully child in the classroom. You know, everyone was worshiping Blockbuster and Netflix was like, yeah, all right, cool. I believe in myself. I don't need you to believe in me. And then one day Netflix just came up from behind with the blade, slashed that throat and Blockbuster was gone, bled out all over the floor. And it was like, shit, that was cold.
It was so quick how Blockbuster disappeared. I remember always going to Blockbuster to like, just to look at games or to like buy games, exchange games. And all of a sudden, like the next day, Blockbusters were just getting done in, KO'd left, right, and center. Mad to see. I was like, where am I going to get all my shit now?
Man.
And the same with, what was it? HMV. Remember HMV got KO'd as well. Got wrecked. Yeah, yeah. Oh my.
Wow. Days. HMV was a whole experience, man. Damn, but yeah, they got, I haven't seen a HMV in years.
Exactly. They got murdered.
That was a silent murder as well. That was crazy. Oh shit. Like, at least I noticed when Blockbuster was like fading out, but HMV.
HMV got
like swiped off the map. Like,
that's true. Because with Blockbuster, you can see Blockbuster just bleeding out. And like every now and again, a store just closes. Like shit, Blockbuster's getting taken out. But HMV just assassinated into the wind. Gone.
That's like those sniper assassin missions in Hitman. When you catch them on the balcony and they just fall straight into the water. Oh, no. That's...
Well, like you were saying about the digital... metaverse versions of yourself. That was the I think that was on Black Mirror. That was a Black Mirror episode on that. But basically, what you're saying is true. Yeah, it was a Black Mirror episode because I remember it was a thing where it was basically saying how, you know, you have your social media page and how every single time you go into your social media page, you pretty much create more of your digital self. And it's like the social media app is completely trying to hold your attention, trying to take you away from the real world. Because every time this kid went onto the app, more of his like avatar became more detailed. And then he went into the real world, did more stuff. And then the app was like, oh shit, he's not logged in. How do I get his attention? I don't know, man. Oh, we know that he likes his girl from this other class. Are they friends? Okay, quickly send him a ping that she's about to upload something, and it grabbed his attention, and he's on it again, and then more and more of the detail in the app became a thing until his I think the end of the episode was his entire digital self was downloaded into the app, and now he was completely plugged in. Like, he is now the app, and the app is now him or something. And I feel like that is where we are going, because... How do I say? So the internet is quote unquote free. And like you said, it was Facebook that started it, right? Facebook started selling people's information so that they can make money, right? Yeah. With the ads and stuff. So they are using your profile, your everything to make money, but you're not making money off of that. And the reason is because they're providing you this service for free. So I believe what you're saying is right. Whatever you have online, you better buy that shit now. Everything that says it's you, you get that shit. Get that shit now. You buy that shit. Because I feel like we should be in control of our data and where it goes and who gets to see it. Huh? It's really weird how people don't want to pay for these services. They're like, no, Facebook should stay free. Why? Facebook is using you. Just pay like, I don't know, how much do you need to pay? Just pay that amount and all your data is yours again. I don't get it. People just literally signing away their lives. It's weird.
That's the finesse though. And the thing is, again, with humans, most of the time we don't see shit until it's too late because a human can only see in 3D. Right. That's why I'm so tapped into this spiritual work, because it helps me to see in 4D, 5D. To certain degrees, right? And through this thing that we call intuition. And yeah, as you're saying, when something is free, then we're the product. And that whole, oh, we're gonna charge, that was a scam. They were never gonna charge. They were never gonna charge. But if you can push it, then all of a sudden you can make people fight. You can make people fight and put their emotions into it. So it's like, yes. They're emotionally invested. That was a finesse.
I'm not gonna lie, that was finesse, because they literally said, oh, you're gonna have to start charging for stuff, and everyone went into an uproar. And I remember when that happened, and I'm like, is that really a bad thing? Because if you look at how expensive apps are, they're like, what, £3? £4? Like, it's not that expensive, you know? But everyone's like, no, I don't want to pay for Facebook. It should be free. I was like, well, okay, we'll keep it free. Whilst in the background, they're just like, so this person is this age and they were logging on to this and looking at this cream so we can sell them this cream and do this.
Yeah, man. And it's all connected. The social, the entertainment, the politics and the media, the tech. You know, we got Elon and what's it, Neuralink?
Oh, dude.
This is all the same shit. It's all going in one direction, man.
Have you heard about the connection between Neuralink and the end of days in the Bible? The Exodus. No, is it Exodus? No, what's the end? Oh, sorry, what's the last?
Revelation.
Such an idiot. Exodus is at the beginning.
You need to go back to church, fam.
Huh?
You need to go back to church.
Oh, my mom would say that. Yeah, Revelations. So in Revelations, have you seen the connection between Neuralink and Revelations?
Not explicitly, no.
So basically,
please enlighten me.
So basically, you know, the Neuralink is pretty much what they put a chip in your hand or they put the chip in your forehead. And what Elon's thing is that he wants to connect people's minds to the net so they can just instantly like search for stuff, like an AR kind of thing. I'm guessing that's what that is. Yeah. So basically people were connecting it saying, oh shit. Because in Revelations, they said that when people will get the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast is like on the handle, on the forehead, exactly how Elon explained Neuralink, and everyone's trying to say, oh, that goes up. That's coming. That's the end of times, man. It's coming, man.
Yes. Yeah, I've been hearing and reading quite a bit about the mark of the beast connection. Indeed. And it's also related to this worldwide 5G network now. And once everyone's plugged into whatever Neuralink is going on, and it's connected to an Internet of Things, then you have essentially a layer of the metaverse there already. And when we're talking about Uber with their driverless cars, and you know, just generally homes that are connected to these things. Yeah, man, I like to study fiction, or what is called fiction. I like to study fiction. I never really used to. I was more of a non-fiction guy. But then I realized that fiction is...
I mean, reality.
Fiction is non-fiction by people who didn't want to come out with it outright. So the book 1984, for example, by Orwell, right? That shit was never fiction. It was like, so this isn't a pipeline, guys. I'm just letting you know through this fictional book. And, you know, we've spoken about Assassin's Creed, spoken about Black Mirror. Like, you can sit down and watch the seasons of Black Mirror and take notes and be pretty well prepared for what's coming. And also the Watch Dogs games are quite interesting.
Hmm. The thing is, you can see where the future is going there. You can see where... Yes, it's not the Jetsons, you know, we're not flying around in super tall metallic buildings with domes with cities inside and flying cars and robots with AI and shit. We don't have that, but you can see where it's going. You can see that they're trying to change the roads now so that the roads, instead of having the asphalt, the whatever's in the roads, they're going to have the glass roads that have, it's like... has the lines that can change so that if there's traffic issues that it can automatically change. It's like connected to the network, the traffic network. So the lines can actually change on the fly. Like you said, they're going to have homes that you can walk into and there's AI in the homes that's connected to your phone, that's connected to your car, that's connected to your work, that's connected to everything. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just jump into your car and just start reading a newspaper and the car will just take you where you need to go. That's the future. That's the future. And it's a bit scary because like we are already a civilization that's very, but we love convenience. And like I keep saying, convenience.
Oh, wait, the door's ringing. I'll be right back.
Okay. So whilst he's getting the door, I'm going to keep talking. So like I said before, how we live in a world of convenience, but at what price? And it seems that the more convenience that we get, the less in touch with, you know, nature and doing things ourselves that we are. We're going to have cars that drive us. If we're going to have kitchens that cook for us, we're going to have so many things that can just do things for us. Like, I don't know. It just, it really is. What is it that we can do that actually has, I don't know, a like strong work ethic, a strong meaning? It's hard to explain. I'm not explaining it right. It's almost like, I don't know, like, I'm not saying that we should all be going out with bow and arrow and hunting for food, no. But there is something to going out into the wild and seeing what the wild looks like, you know, and seeing where food actually comes from. There is something to preparing food and actually having, you know, appreciation for the food that you're preparing and then sitting there and eating it. Like, nowadays, you have so many people who just want a burger but don't want to see how the burger is made or don't even care how the burger is made. Same with clothes. People want their Nikes. They want Nikes on their feet, but they don't give a fuck that there's people being enslaved to make them. And there's this disconnect. And I feel like the more technology we get, and the more technology does stuff for humans, the more disconnected we will be from the natural world, from actually doing things. We're already becoming slowly disconnected from each other because we're all talking through screens. And I don't know. It's not good. I don't know. Are you back? Are you here? Are you there?
I am. I am. Yes, indeed.
You hear?
I did. It can be a bit rough. It can be a bit rough navigating this disconnect. And because ultimately it's layers. It's layers of disconnection. For example, the purest way to get energy for any being on this planet is straight from the sunlight, like straight from the source, right? Straight from the sun. At some point, as humans, food is necessary as well. So the next purest source of that sunlight is raw vegetables that grow under the sun.
Yep.
And the next layer of that is, you know, vegetables that are grown under different conditions, what you might call more artificial conditions, where there are less, or there is less natural exposure to the sun. And then you have all these genetic modifications going on that are taking certain minerals and nutrients from these vegetables. And then you have things that aren't vegetables at all. You know, just take it, like, I love potato chips, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it's like it starts off as a potato and they just suck everything nutritional out of it. Throw a bunch of oil in there and put it in their pressure cookers or whatever. And they say, here you go. I throw a bunch of salt in it. I'm like, oh, fuck you guys, man. This is delicious. This is...
fuck you guys. This is amazing. Oh, shit. It's true.
Oh, man.
It's like with juice. It's the same thing with juice. It's like, you're thinking that you're drinking like the purest of juice, but you don't understand that they squeeze the orange, then they put it through a system where they take out all of the nutrition. Then they put in, they say they put in all the vitamins back into it, and then they put a lot of sugar back into it, and they serve it to you and go, here's your fresh orange juice. And you're like, fuck you, this is delicious. Because I'm telling you right now, go out and get an actual, here's the test. Buy orange juice from the store and go out to your local groceries and get an actual orange and squeeze that shit. And then taste both of them, and then you can taste the motherfucking difference. you can instantly tell the difference. Because they squeeze all the nutrients and the good shit out of the actual orange and put in their own nutrients and said that this orange juice is the better orange juice because we added vitamin B6HTO omega Z to this shit. It's way better for your health. And it's like, no, bitch, this has more sugar and shit. But goddamn, it's so good.
This is the shit, man. This is the shit. Right, how, who said so? Experts. Scientists. Experts.
The same experts and scientists like 30 years ago that was saying, oh no, 60 years ago that was saying, smoking's good for your health. You should smoke every day. You should have alcohol after you go running and exercising because it's good to replenish your juices. Same experts that were saying that, don't worry about those slaves. Those slaves aren't human. The experts, we know. So these same experts that just change over the years that still saying the same dumb shit, but just in a different way.
Yeah, man. It's a funny game. This is the dopest RPG of all. This is the original RPG. So every RPG that was ever made is based off of this one that we're playing, living right now. So
that's the thing. Yeah, how do you know that we're in the original? How do you know that we're not?
That's true. That's true.
That there might have been one that we were in, and then we all downloaded into this one.
Indeed. Yeah, this is the highest one that we can prove, let's say. But yeah, absolutely, we have no proof or knowledge that this is the original.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing, we always come down to what can we do, how can we fix this? But the thing is, I don't think it can be fixed. I think humans are just kind of not doomed, but we're kind of destined to be in this cycle of constantly moving forward whilst also moving back, if you understand what I mean.
It's absolutely.
Like, yeah. It's like humans think that, oh, we're so smart right now. We're the greatest. We're the best. Things just keep getting better. And it's like, nah, shit is bad. Shit's getting worse. Where is this information that you're getting that things are getting better? Climate's fucked. War's still continuing. We still have hunger. We still have a lot of racism. And we still have slaves. People are still being sold as we speak. There's children being whipped to the bone to create these goods that you make. There's still blood diamonds. How is this a good world? How are we better than how humans were a millennia ago? We're not. It's still the same shit.
There's no saving Earth. Like, I've had to accept that over the past year. There's no saving this place. What we can do is... So what I started to pay attention to was the Yuga cycle, which is something found in Hindu? I believe the Hindu tradition. And essentially there are cycles. It's called the Yuga cycle.
Yuga cycle.
Yeah, Y-U-G-A.
I-U.
And there are different eras. So I believe, is it iron or bronze? In any case, you have bronze, silver, and golden age, right? And then everything falls off and starts again. And this is like the level of consciousness that the planet is at and the beings on it. So in the Bronze Age, everyone's going to be fighting wars and shit and talking shit to each other and, you know, a whole bunch of division. Going up into the Silver and the Golden Age, that starts to quote unquote improve and there's more connection. And this is where the abilities like telepathy, for example, come into play. And then it falls again. And like these cycles, according to this tradition, have been going on for a long last time. Right, so it's a rise and fall. And come back to Assassin's Creed again. It's after, I think it's AC2. So after Assassin's Creed 2, the next one is Brotherhood, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ezio is in Monte Di...
Ezio starts off in the second one.
Yeah. And in the third game, so in Brotherhood... The game starts off in Monte Dioni or something like that, the place where he's at, like where his where his spot is and where his family
stays. Yeah, yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah. And you start the game with like the full powers acquired from AC2.
Yeah.
So he's got all the blade upgrades. He's got the dope ass outfit on. He's got all the swords and shit, the fighting skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But then after that first level,
you're fucked.
Yeah. And he loses everything.
Yeah.
And that's the cycles that we're going through. So we get to a high point and it's like, yo, we're on fire. We're on top of the world. We're on God mode. And then it's like, yo, you want to, so we just like forget these powers again and then do this whole thing again. It'll be fun, right? Yeah, let's do it. Come. And you know, that's what Earth is. It's a game to lose and relearn everything that we are until we find a way to get out of this dimension, to get off of this plane. That's the way I choose to see it anyway. And that makes shit more interesting for me. So.
The Yuga. So each cycle in this Yuga cycle, you said, each cycle lasts 4,320,000 years.
That's so each complete cycle.
Each complete cycle lasts 4,320,000 years.
Right. So look at that number. Do you remember what we spoke about the number 9?
Please remind me.
So number 9 is the God number, so to speak, right? And each multiple of 9 adds up to 9 when you add the individual digits.
Oh my God. Oh, right. And then if you add all of those numbers, it adds up to 9.
Oh. Yeah.
I love that. How you're so proud of yourself. Like, yeah.
That's not even me being proud of me. That's me just being like, yo, I love this synchronicity, man. I love synchronicity. Oh shit. Wait. Bruh. Have we spoken about human design?
No, go ahead, please.
Oh my God.
I love it when you get excited, man.
Remind me of your time of birth again. Oh. I mean, you can tell the people if you want.
Oh, we're going to do that again.
You can.
Okay, I will.
Nah, but this one's something different.
What the? By the way, I hope guys actually went and checked your star sign and your personality test and shit. What, you want my date of birth and the time?
Yeah.
All right. Then so, now. Ooh, wait. Yeah, first. Yeah, month. Date and the time. Shit. I'm just going to say it's between. The time was between 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning.
So, how specific can you get?
Let's just say 1:30.
Okay.
It was between 1 and 2. I don't know specifically, but let's just say 1:30 just to. An average.
Okay.
Jeez. I'm on to something else, guys. I don't even know what's happening. The same ride as you right now.
Human design. AM or PM?
Oh, AM. Yeah, it was definitely in the morning. Definitely.
Okay.
I was an early, early birther. I popped out. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Right in the morning.
Let me spell that correctly. Okay.
Hindu cosmology.
Here we go. Oh, what? George, the emotional generator.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Oh, man.
That sounds about right.
So this is interesting. So your profile is 4-6. All right. So there are 6 numbers and something called a trigram. There's an upper trigram and a lower trigram.
Wait. Could you just first of all explain what this whole thing is before we get into it? Because I don't even know what website you're on, what you're doing. I don't even know anything.
Yeah, I got carried away there, man. Thank you for catching me.
Yeah, you just went straight into it without me even knowing what it even was.
Yeah, man. So essentially, human design is a framework that offers us a glimpse into our unique makeup. And yeah, literally how we are built, how we are designed. and it's based off of other frameworks such as astrology, the Chinese I Ching, cosmology, yeah, like general cosmology and astronomy. What else? Yeah, a few of these things, right, that come together. And the story of human design sounds very sensational.
Is that one of those romance pieces?
So I'll give you the short version, right? So there was a guy called Robert Allen Krakauer. And at some point, you know, so he lived a regular ass middle class life. And he was an entrepreneur. And then at some point in 1983, he just walked away. He said, nah, this ain't it. And disappeared and found himself in Ibiza.
Ibiza?
Some months after that, indeed.
Okay.
And this is where he started his next life, what he calls his real life, as Ra-Uruhu.
What? Wait, what? Ra-Uruhu?
Ra-Uruhu. So as in Ra, the sun god. Uru, as in origin. And who, where will you find who?
Doctor Who?
Yeah. That. But also the who as in human, like human.
Oh, right. Uru who.
Mm.
Okay.
So sun god, origin, human. Like that's just, okay. That's what comes up to me. I need to verify that, but that's just what jumps out to me.
That's how you interpreted that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's just my personal. Yeah.
Okay.
So one evening, January 3rd, 1987, he encountered the voice, right? And the voice said, are you ready to work? Oops. So for 8 days and eight nights, he wrote down what this voice was telling him. And it turned out to be the human design system. And, you know, he's said to be the messenger of this system. And yeah, again, the story sounds very sensational, and it's funny to me because truth is stranger than fiction at the end of the day. But yeah, I've looked into the system and it's serving me pretty well.
Okay.
Since I've been using it over the past, let's say, month or so, yo, like shit is changing for me, and I feel a lot more clear in what I'm doing.
Okay. Human design.
Human design.
All right. So what are you reading for me now? So you have to put in your date of birth. You have to put in the time you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, what is this right now? What are you explaining to me?
Right. So essentially there are four main types of human.
Four main types of humans.
Yeah.
Like personality according or?
It's more of an energetic imprint. Similar to how we read the astrology, uh-huh, and how these planets, or the energies of these planets inside us influence, okay, how we show up. It's kind of like that. So there are four like basic blueprints. It branches out into more, mm-hmm, but there are four basic blueprints. And they're known as manifestor, generator, projector, and reflector.
Okay.
So just to give you a quick rundown, a manifestor is someone who can see, like they have a vision and they have the power to initiate it and make it happen.
Okay.
Without necessarily getting their hands in the work.
Okay.
The generators are the workers. They are the people that get the shit done.
Okay.
The projectors are sort of like guides for people. And the reflectors are the ones who reflect on the state of the collective and sense, okay, either we're doing well and we're happy, or we're fucking up and we're depressed. So the reflectors have like this emotional sort of space to reflect on what everyone else is going through.
Okay.
So that's generally that.
Okay.
And then you have something called the 12 profiles.
Okay. There's 12 profiles.
Say again.
I said, no, there's more. There's 12 profiles. Okay.
Yeah, indeed. There's a lot more, but we ain't going to go into all that. It's a whole fucking, but yeah. So there are 12 profiles, and these profiles are based on something called trigrams. So there's an upper trigram and the lower trigram. The lower trigram is just numbers 1 to 3. And each of these numbers represent a certain type of energy and tendency.
Okay.
All right. So the, and the upper trigram is numbers 4 to 6.
Okay. We're going into a little bit of detail. You might as well just tell me my thing because I'm kind of getting lost now. Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. But the reason I wanted to talk about the trigrams is because what I found interesting is that my numbers are totally lower and your numbers are totally upper.
Is that
so? I've got 1-3 and you've got 4-6.
Oh, okay. That's super significant.
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about you.
All right.
Let's talk about you.
Let's get a bit narcissistic for a moment. Okay.
So George is a generator.
You said emotional generator.
Indeed, yeah. So that's another subset of the generator vibe.
So I'm an emotional worker. Get shit done.
So that's what it comes down to, right, essentially. But it's about where your motivations come from.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then tell me, okay.
Your motivation or your strategy is to respond, and you respond with your emotional authority. So, you know, you value logic to a degree, perhaps, but ultimately, if you have a decision to make, it's like, how do I actually feel about this? Yeah. Like, how do I really feel about this?
Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. And when you're not yourself, so when you're fighting against your true nature, it comes out as frustration. And you start to feel frustrated in like that, very specifically frustration. That's when you know you're off course.
Okay.
Because it's like you're fighting an uphill struggle against something and feel like you're getting nowhere, like you get stuck in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So,
it's saying if I'm not myself, I get frustrated. And if I'm in a situation, I'm frustrated, it means I'm not being myself and I should reverse and correct course.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. So if you find yourself frustrated, it's like, okay, maybe this ain't my shit.
All right.
So on my profile is what's called a manifesting generator, which is like a subset of generator. And
yours has two. You're two things. You're a manifester and a generator?
So more so a generator, but with certain manifesting tendencies. Yeah. So for example, if I have the desire to just start a business, then I'm just going to go and do that and then figure out the steps, which is pretty much what I did. And I'm also emotionally, my authority is emotional as well. So it's very much so what feels right, what feels good to me.
I didn't know you could be two, but okay.
Yeah, it's still a generator, but it's influenced by certain aspects of that manifested thing.
Okay.
So some systems have manifesting generator as their own type, but this original one says that it's just all generator, just a different type of that. Okay. Strategy. So this is important, right? When you have a decision to make, don't make it impulsively.
Is this me?
Yeah. Oh. So both of us.
Oh, both of us. Oh.
Yeah. Like sleep on that shit. Even if it feels good in the moment, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, sounds good. I'm gonna take the night. I'm gonna sleep on it. I'm gonna let you know. Because if we rush into things, it can lead to regret. And things that look shiny from the, you know, on the outside, but turn out to be shit. So it's important that we give ourselves time to see if something is shit for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's something we shared. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch here. I've got like a whole almost 500 page book. So there's a lot of information on this shit.
It's a book?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There are multiple books. This is just one.
Okay.
This is just one.
So what am I supposed to get out of this? What is the point of this? What is there more?
So the, mi- there- Yeah, there's more to it. Like, you and I can speak about it just in peace at some point and really go through it. But the main thing to get out of it is strategy. So, like, what is my strategy?
Sleep on the
where are my strengths? Yeah, okay. So that's there's more to it than that. And yeah, when we go into it, we can like break it down properly. All
right.
But there are also these things called channels, which are quite interesting. And you have three fully connected channels. Some people have none. Some people have like four or five. You have three.
All right.
Which is very interesting. So I'm going to have a quick look.
Why is it interesting?
At those channels. So I'll give you an example. One of my channels is the channel of mating. And I think that's very clear to you.
Oh my God, of course. What was I expecting? What was I expecting? I should have known. I should have known that was going to happen. I should have known. Like, I was walking into a trap. I should have known that was going to happen.
All I'm saying is
the channel of mating.
All I'm saying is when I read it, it made sense. When I read it, a lot of shit made a lot of sense in an instant. I was like, okay, I see. I get it.
This is too funny. I get it. How many channels do you have?
Three as well, I think.
Okay. So, and one of them is mating. All right. What does that mean? Yeah. I mean, so, I can guess what it means, but just what does it say?
Let's find it. So 59.6, the channel of mating, a design focused on reproduction. So it says that essentially I have a natural urge to merge myself with things and people.
Not just with people, with things as well. Yes. Oh my gosh. All right.
Since over time, this can be healthy and deeply satisfying on many levels. Your own availability to intimacy allows you to quickly and easily penetrate the auras of others, facilitating a coziness that paves the way for fertility in any creative endeavor.
Oh my gosh.
This is your natural state and a true asset for establishing relationships of any kind. You can also be misunderstood and your intensity misinterpreted by others. You may feel you are flirting or coming onto them when you don't mean to.
Yeah, that's you. That's you to a T. That's literally you to a T. Ever since I met you, man. Ever since I met you, you were just that guy. Just that guy. If I met you the first time, or the second day, I should say, in secondary school, and they were like, yeah, Aaron's the guy that's just going to be smashing. I'm like, what? You think? You think? You think?
Oh, man.
I can see that shit, man. I don't need no book to see that shit. God damn.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's too funny. All right, so what are my channels then? I definitely know I don't have that mating one. Fucking hell.
So you have synthesis, community, and concentration.
What does that shit mean?
All right, so let's start with synthesis. Let's go straight to the personal bit. So have you seen? Yeah, so essentially it's speaking about the aspect of loyalty. And in the personal description, it says you're very sensitive to your own position in the scheme of things. You want to be needed and give support. Wanting to be needed and give support and or needing to be wanted and supported is critical to your happiness. The family, however, is defined, is your enterprise, and you're willing to do the necessary inner work to make it a success. So, for example, taking time to explore the depth and impact of your emotional wave on any potential partner before a long courtship, before committing to the intimacy and responsibility of cohabitation or marriage and raising a family. The three most important needs for you within your tribe are the protection of resources, the sanctity of your territory, and a clear understanding of your tribe's belief system. Your potential gift is to be recognized as someone who can always balance practicality and fairness.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what to say. All right. I mean, so some of that just sounded like common sense, that you will actually wait to see if you actually like someone before you get married. That one was like, isn't that common sense? Why would you rush into marriage? And of course, everyone wants to be needed or wants to have loyalty. I don't know. I don't get that. That just seems common sense to me. Oh, I could not hear you. You kind of...
All right, there we go. You're back.
Yeah, yeah. That was a unstable connection. I'll be back. Okay. Did you hear me?
Yes. So you were saying that it sounds like common sense.
Yeah.
To not rush into these things.
Yeah.
At the same time, there are some channels here where it says that it's in their best interest to make snap decisions. And the first thing that comes to them is the right thing.
Oh,
and so these are the people that can sometimes get... So they can sometimes get stuck overthinking because they didn't need to think that much in the first place. They just needed to trust the first thing that came to them.
Oh, fair enough.
So for people with those channels or those types of gates, it's in their best interest to just go with it in the moment.
Go with a gut feeling, just head out, just bang. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So maybe, okay, then maybe I should never make... Oh, that's the thing that you said earlier. I should never make quick decisions. I should always take a day to like sleep on it, right?
Mm.
All right. Okay. So what's the other channel? What other channel do I have? So that was whatever that was. I forgot.
Synthesis. Yeah.
Synthesis. Okay.
Yeah. And this other one. So that one and this one that I'm about to read as well.
Mm.
It brings my mind back to what you were speaking about in terms of how everyone should be taught this respect, right? And there should be this just fairness and consistency within or between people.
Okay.
And so I'm going to read this one. It says, so you're waiting to see who asked you to be part of their organization or community or not. You're also trying to discover where you belong or how to fit into the big picture spiritually. The correct invitation won't come through impersonal contact though, like a phone call, but rather through some form of touch or direct personal contact over a period of time. In the most basic sense, every human being is existentially alone. And yet for practical purposes, you are the one who forms the bridge for individuals to live in a community where all have an honored place and respected function. You understand the importance of making a good bargain and how to seal that bargain in the sense of I'll do this for you if you'll do that for me and let's shake on it and let's agree on it and sign here to make it official. And so what I get from that and from the previous one and from what you've said is that and this is how I know you as well. Yeah, you're the guy that wants there to be harmony. So, for example, when we used to hang out at certain times, right, and something would pop up between people, I would observe it and sometimes even like push it on because I wanted to see what happened just for the experience. You were the one that was like, nah, this is a bullshit fight. Like, our bond, our friendship group, our community is more important than this, you know, like let's sort this shit out.
When did that happen? I mean, I do remember you egging things on because you were just there just stirring shit. I remember you loved stirring shit. You'd be in the background like, oh, that shit just happened. And you just be watching everyone like, let's see how this is going to go out. Because you just loved laughing in the background.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. Was I?
Yeah. I was always the hey, chill out. Let's just chill. Like that's you. Let's just chill. It's not worth it. Let's just chill.
Really? Okay.
How do you see yourself in that dynamic?
I guess in a sense I'm the mediator. I guess, but I don't know. But I mean, to be honest, people can't really. Like, it's really hard to come out of yourself and look upon yourself. So I guess if you see it to be true, then that might have been what had happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't like something that you were like breaking your neck to do, but like when it was, because you're in your own world in essence, but like the dynamic was different when you weren't there, you know?
Oh, really?
It was like, yeah, man.
Oh, that's absolutely a nice thing to say. Kind of sweet. Aww. It's kind of sweet to say. Aww.
Hey, speaking of facts, man. Speaking of facts. You know. But yeah, man. I mean, when you had alcohol in you.
Oh,
maybe,
Jesus.
Maybe not so much the, oh, you
Jesus
know.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Maybe not so much the mediator there, but.
All the more causing the problems, story. Man. Fuck it off. All the more causing the issues in the first place, man. Jesus. Do not put alcohol in me, or don't put too much alcohol in me. God damn.
Oh, man.
All right, okay. So there's that one. So the synthesis, and that one was the... What was that one?
Community.
Community. Oh, community. And yes. I'm good at bargaining. What was that? I'm good at bargaining and connecting.
Yeah, make sure everyone is relating to each other fairly.
So basically, I should make my own community.
Or be invited to one.
Or to be invited and through touch. Be invited through touch.
Indeed.
Over time.
Indeed.
All right. Okay. Yes. Okay, so what's the last one? All right.
Pay attention to those connections, man. Definitely.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Touching up everything. Touching up everyone. We've got kinds of connections.
So where are you? Oh, yeah. The channel of concentration.
Channel of concentration?
Yes.
That's an actual thing? So we had synthesis community, and this one is channel of communication.
Concentration.
Oh, concentration. Okay. Mm. Okay. Concentration.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. I'll let you decide if this
is me. Fits. Okay.
So you are continually involved in assessing the details of whatever it is that you have committed yourself to. You experience a quiet pressure to be still, not as stress, but more as a tension that keeps you in place, like a yoga pose. You still your physical body and your outer senses in order to use your energy in a precise, focused way, and hate dissipating this potent energy by having to deal with many things at once. Something like the Buddha under a lotus tree, gathering your energy and waiting for your sacral, so like your lower regions between your stomach and your genitals to respond.
Say your responses again?
Feel... So as it says, you are like the Buddha sitting under a lotus tree, gathering your energy and waiting for your sacral to respond.
Okay.
Yeah. Your responses reveal what your focus will be, what pattern you'll be devoted to perfecting, and when to share it. As you follow your responses, your true vocation and life focus also emerge. You may be profoundly dedicated to one activity for most of your life, or have multiple distinctly different foci over the course of a lifetime. With this format channel defining your design, you may find yourself restless and depressed if there is nothing worthwhile to concentrate on, nothing that your authority says is correct to direct this energy toward.
Oh, is that it?
That is it. There's a lot more to it. I just read you the personal section.
Okay, you might have to say that again because I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean,
all right, so let's pull out the details.
Pretty much, it was saying about. So it's about concentration, and it's about what I need to concentrate. I'll either have one thing to concentrate on or many things to concentrate on.
Yeah. So it says that you're likely to either have like one lifelong vocation, one lifelong commitment, or multiple different things that you focus on over the course of a lifetime. But what it's saying is that when you sit down to it, whatever it is, and whether it's a lifelong thing or these different things, you are concentrated on that thing. And it's important to have for you in order to direct your energy towards.
Ah.
Because if your energy isn't doing anything, then restlessness and depression starts to kick in.
Ah, okay. So pretty much I have to always be keeping busy, because if I'm not busy, that's when I get depressed.
Yeah, but it has to be something that you actually care about.
Yeah, something I care about. And it can be one thing, or it can be multiple things at the same time.
Mm.
But isn't that everybody? That just sounds like another common sense thing. It's like, if you're not doing anything, then what's the point of living? You got to be sitting down and doing something.
Some people are happy to chill. Some people are happy to direct other people to do things.
Oh, you're saying some people are just happy to just be lazy bums for the rest of their life, and other people,
if you want to call it that.
Oh, to them, they're not being lazy bums. They're just chilling. Or you're a person who tells other people what to do. So you're pretty much the commander. While you don't do anything, you tell other people to do stuff.
Right.
And you're saying that I'm the kind of person that likes doing the stuff myself.
Right. And it's more about like a certain craft, for example. So I remember that you were posting on Instagram when you were doing, what was it, Gundam?
Oh, right. Yeah, I was making Gundams. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, that's something that is like a craft for you that you could focus your energy into and something that you take pride in.
If it's something, so my whole life, I need to have something that I enjoy doing and concentrate on that thing or many things.
It's about, yeah, and it's about mastery. It's about attaining a mastery.
But
yeah.
It's not just about doing it. I want to attain mastery in that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do it to the highest of your ability.
Huh. But isn't that everyone? And you're going to say, no, but there's people that can do this and that. Like, all right.
Let's say yes, it is everyone. Let's say for argument's sake that it is everyone. And everyone is committed to mastery. Why are we in the state that we're in right now?
Because that's a good thing. Let's take the Olympics. Let's use the Olympics as an example, since it just ended. Everyone wants that gold medal, but only one person gets it, right? So you can train and concentrate your entire life for this moment and not make it. And that's what happens. It's like you can do it your entire life and want to be a master, but there will always, always be someone better than you. That will always be a thing. And even if you do come out as being the number one, you will not be number one for too long. You know, someone will replace you always. So, yeah.
Interesting. But I see mastery as something deeper than that.
Okay.
In a sense, if you have, I didn't watch a single second of the Olympics, but if you have, let's say, what's a good event? Let's say archery.
Yeah.
You have Olympic archery and you have a whole lineup of, I don't know how many people take part, but let's say eight.
Let's say more than eight, but okay.
In the final competition, like let's say that the best eight.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Only one can take that gold home. Someone else can take the silver. Someone else can take the bronze. Those other five are leaving with no medals whatsoever.
Yeah.
At the same time, in order to even be in that same platform as the person who took gold, they needed to attain some level of mastery.
Yeah. I do understand that. Yeah. So... You're a master at that sport, seeing as you went to the highest level of it. But if you don't get gold, you're not the master of masters, but you're still a master.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I get that. Okay. So it's not about being the number one. It's just about getting to that point where you're like, I've mastered this, whatever.
Mm.
Okay.
And competition is a useful way to measure that sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Because without competition, how do you know if you're good at it or not if you don't compete against someone else?
Yeah.
Just some self-proclaimed king for no reason, like.
Yep. Oh, man.
All right.
But yeah, I'm gonna do some breakdowns on this thing for you, send you some info so you can understand it a bit better. So I'm going to have a look at your chart as well.
So we can end it with your one because you had the mating one, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So what are the other two ones that you had?
So let me pull up my chart. I had a friend of mine generate a chart and do a whole reading for me. So just to give you some context, the whole reading took more than an hour and a half.
Jeebus.
So, yeah.
To be honest, when you started this whole thing, we were like 1 minute 4, 1:05, something like that. And now it's like a good half an hour has almost gone by. So yeah.
Nice. So yeah, emotional manifesting generator. And profile is 1-3. So one is to do with investigation and 3 is to do with martyrdom.
Okay, you are martyr.
Allegedly. And so the 4-6 profile, I didn't tell you about that. 4 is opportunistic and 6 is role model.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Opportunistic role model.
Yes, indeed.
Lol.
But again, this is just going off the birth time that we work with.
Mm, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
So what's okay? So quickly go with you. So your first channel was mating, and you said your second one was, or your third one was martyrdom, and the other one was something else.
So So those the 1-3. That's the number profile for the trigrams.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The channels. So we saw mating, judgment, charisma. I've got 6 channels connected. Oh
my gosh. Of course you got 6.
Awareness, emoting, and inspiration.
Yeah. So you get the 6 channels. Oh, okay. Okay. All right then. Okay. Oh, no, I didn't say that. I was just like, okay. You have the 6 channels, okay, it's no problem, okay. You know?
Hey. It'd be like that. Environmental style observed, okay. Yeah, but yeah, that's essentially.
And with this, you've been living by this mantra, I should say.
Yeah, so I've read up everything about the channels, and seeing where I can draw parallels to things I've already noticed in myself. Okay. See where I can use them or the energies described in there to my strength, or as my strengths rather. So for example, with charisma.
I mean, you have charisma. We know you have charisma. What is this? Everyone knows what charisma is. Of course you have charisma.
Indeed. But so the way the person who did the reading for me, the way she broke it down was, so talking about in terms of how I come across in my social media presence, right? She was like, don't be afraid to go there. Like, say what you really fucking feel. Like, don't hold back. Don't try to sugarcoat anything, because that's not how you get your responses. And she connected that to the mating as well. So what I've started to do is in my social profiles, when I'm posting videos and stuff, I am more openly and obviously connecting to my sexual energy to broadcast it, you know? And it's working for me. It's working for me.
How is it working for you? How? How is it working for you? Please tell me, how is it working for you?
People are responding to the content differently. What kinds of people? They're engaging with it. Wait, what kinds of people? How do you mean when you say that?
Who's responding to it? To this extra sexual content?
Extra sexual.
Wow. Sounds like OnlyFans, that's what I'm saying. Wow. But yeah, wow. That's what you said.
What I said was sexual energy.
Okay, sexual energy, sexual content, still the same thing. Come on.
If you say so.
Okay, no, content and energy is different. Okay. Okay, fine. But sexual energy that you're exuding from the content, what kinds of people are reacting?
Again, when you say what kind of people, what do you mean?
You said that more people were reacting. You're getting more upticks. Like, you know,
indeed.
What are the statistics saying?
In terms of numbers?
Numbers, areas, genders, age.
So areas, all over the place. Really, there's people from Germany and Netherlands responding to my content, people in the UK,
people in the States. They are mostly women.
There we go.
That's who my content is targeted towards. That's who my content is targeted towards. That's who I work with.
And the penny drops.
You know. This was clear.
I know. I just wanted it to be sure. I was messing with you, but I just wanted it to be out there.
It already was. It was never hidden. Yeah, man. But anyway, the Charisma channel was basically saying, focus on video content. Because I was like racking my brains trying to write shit as well for quite a while. And it was just like, nah, just come out there, use your voice and post video content. And it's been flowing a lot easier since I've been doing that as well. Emoting, that channel it describes me and how I have these up and down moods. Like some days I just don't want to talk to anyone and I'm going to honor that. Like I don't try to hide it. It's like, I don't feel like talking to anyone, to you today. Like I don't feel like it. But other days I'm like, I'm on the top of that wave and it's like, yeah, let's fucking talk to everyone. Let's go sit down in the park and talk to strangers. And, you know, so yeah, it's just about honoring those waves. And then the other tunnel awareness is about my thought process and the thoughts that come in through me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's a lot of talking I've done already.
Yeah. You feel good, right?
I'm done. I'm done. That's what I am. I'm done.
Okay, how do you want to end this one?
I'm done talking.
Oh, you're done?
I'm going to say. I'm good to close out.
Close out.
I would say, yeah, have a look at human design. It's interesting. Might figure some shit out. I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah. Yeah. Excited. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of energy and feeling, a lot of thoughts and thinking. Yeah. How do I want to end this? In a similar way to a lot of the other ones. Just like do you, be you at the end of the day. If you feel in a certain way, be honest about that. Some people may not be receptive to how you're feeling, and that's okay too. It's the most important thing is to be receptive to yourself, and over time you will meet and connect with people who are also receptive to you. So it's a process that always begins with the individual and then expands outwards. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Cool. What I want to say is find connections. Like we have technology, we have all of this convenience and it's good and it's fun. And like Aaron said earlier, you know, crisps are great. Potato chips are amazing. I fucking know they're delicious. But also, remember, eat some whole foods, like vegetables and stuff, connect to people, and step away from technology every once in a while. Don't get so, you know, connected to technology for the sake of just, you know, going with the flow of what everyone else is doing. Don't go with the crowd, man. Find yourself. Stuff like that. And follow Solar Prime on the Instas. Follow him on the Instas. He's been doing okay. And you have another one. You said you had emote what now? Like you did you only have the one Instagram? Did you have two Instagrams or is it just the one?
Oh, I've got one and a half. There's a page that I started some time ago. I haven't used it. What I will say is, I just finished a workbook. It's okay. Called the Divine Relationship Workbook. I'll be posting that on my social very soon.
All right.
And yeah, it's a workbook to help us work through our relationship dynamics, whether that be with ourselves, with other people, platonic, romantic, relationship with your fucking pets, you know? That's what it's about. And just about coming to a greater awareness of how we show up in our relationships and how authentic and connected we are.
So look out for that. And on that note, we out.
Peace.